You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, what happens to all the products we return? More often than not, going back on the shelf is not the answer. We'll talk about the hidden industry that deals with all the perfectly good stuff and sometimes not so good stuff that people don't want anymore. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Courtney Everett is in the studio with me. Here at WPR, listener contributions are the largest source of funding. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 20 gifts this hour. This goal is important. It is set to make sure we have the funding needed for the programs you rely on.
We'll meet that goal one donation at a time, and let's start with yours right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality, and that's why we've been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Your gift makes this program possible and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Make a big difference right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today isn't your ordinary Tuesday, it's $10 Tuesday. Ask for the new WPR baseball cap when you give $10 a month or more. We've been talking about this hat. It is very neat. It's light green in color, retro radio design. It looks good on Larry Mueller. And when you wear it, you are supporting independent journalism and smart entertainment. And again, this special offer is only available today, $10 Tuesday, not just tacos. So give your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've only discovered Wisconsin Public Radio recently, we want you to know that WPR is listener-driven, not profit-driven. You get more programming per hour because we don't have to take time out for long, long blocks of commercials.
Our business is to inform and entertain you and serve up quality programs for you to enjoy. WPR is your station, and it's possible because listeners like you give what they can to support it. Show your support now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You are part of WPR's community of listeners. Whether you've been listening for years or just a few months, you can become part of our community of members, people who support the programs that they value.
If you've never given before, start with a gift of $100 or better yet, make that an ongoing gift of $10 a month. Your contribution of any amount makes you a member, and because the largest piece of our funding comes from members, you'll really make a difference. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is to get 20 gifts this hour. That goal is important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs you count on. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we have a special offer today. It is the day to receive the WPR baseball cap when you give $10 a month or more. You can wear it, show it off at work, support your WPR programs that you value. And again, this cap is only available for $10 a month today, $10 Tuesday. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. You could make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And special thanks to Sarah in Madison. Sarah says, I absolutely love Central Time during the week.
Yay.
Rob, you have one listener.
I'm Rob.
Yes, Rob, you have one listener, Sarah from Madison.
Hey, if we could just reach out to one person, that's
exactly
all it really takes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for the kind words and for the gift. And really, you can be the next person like Sarah to step up and support Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your gift right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Your support really does make a difference. It really does matter. It helps keep Wisconsin Public Radio strong now and into the future. Thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. A lot of online retailers offer free product returns. And the buy, try, return method of shopping is a common tactic. Maybe you buy six pairs of shoes, keep the one you like best, and return the rest. But it's not as simple as putting those returned products back on the virtual shelf. Our next guest recently wrote a piece about the booming reverse logistics industry and what happens to the stuff we return and whether or not it's actually sustainable. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you rely on returns when online shopping for stuff like clothes maybe or shoes? Are those returns usually easy and free? Have you been caught in a situation where it's not? And do you have questions about what happens after you return the thing? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. David Owen is an author and staff writer at The New Yorker. He covered the reverse logistics industry. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Give us a sense, please, David, of the scale. How much of the stuff we buy ends up being returned?
Oh, it's a ton. It's hundreds of billions of dollars worth every year. And it's especially true with apparel. Apparel is the tricky one. It can be like 40% of online purchases of clothing and shoes that are returned.
And I think the assumption sometimes is that, okay, if I'm returning a thing and not because it's defective, it's in fine shape, I just changed my mind or it didn't fit or whatever, no problem. It'll just go right back to the store and they're going to sell it to somebody else. The reality, reading your piece, is wee bit more complicated.
Right. It doesn't happen very often. You know, I remember when I was a kid and my mother would take me to Stride Rite to buy school shoes. And if I tried on pairs that didn't fit, the salesperson would just put them back in the box and put them back on the shelf so another obnoxious 10-year-old could try them on. But that doesn't happen with online purchases. And I attended a conference back in January in Las Vegas of the Reverse Logistics Association, an association of people who deal with what's called the reverse supply chain, the stuff that goes back. And there was a returns executive from Amazon there. And I asked him, he said, when returns come back, they subject them to what's known in the reverse logistics world as triage. They analyze their condition. They decide what can happen to them next. And I said, in this triage, how big is the slice that goes back on the shelf? And he said, it's minimal. You know, it's very, very small. And the reason is that with online purchases, they don't know what's happened to the items while they've been in the hands of consumers. They don't take risks. And unless the product is unopened, clearly unopened, still packaged, still sealed, it's not going to go back on the shelf. It will drift off into this other universe.
That sounds really expensive, David, to a company. And I'm guessing it's more than just a spirit of great generosity driving these very forgiving return policies. Are we ultimately paying for those easy returns in some other way?
Oh, sure. We're paying for them in the same way we pay for so-called free shipping. Somebody pays for it in the end. So there's convenience that we get. I think we pay for it both in the cost of the prices of the things that we buy, and also in the quality of the things that we buy. If to keep prices attractive, quality often has to fall. And it's interesting because you would think that if you were a brand owner, if you're a manufacturer, if you're a retailer, you would want to cut returns to a minimum. But to a retailer, a customer who frictionless returns make customers happy, and retailers want customers to be happy. So on the one hand, they're sort of mildly discouraging returns by doing things like adding reshelving fees, restocking fees to stuff you send back. But on the other hand, they're constantly trying to make it easier. So Target now has drive up refund windows. The two biggest retailers in the world are Amazon and Walmart, and they also have two of the most generous return policies. So there was a business school professor who told me if you tighten up you make your return policies more stricter, more prohibitive at great risk, because if you lose customers, you don't get them back.
And it seems like we as customers are demanding this. At one of the conferences you went to, somebody asked a bunch of actual sustainability experts. This is like the punchline of your piece. I'm sorry to spoil it. Hey, if I made a computer that's better quality, long-lasting, durable, it's a way better computer than the one you can get at the same price, but that other one has free returns, I have no returns. Were people willing to buy that computer if they couldn't return it?
No, they all said no, and they were all MBAs in an environmental in environment program at a major university. So it's something that that appeals to people, and it's a cultural thing too, because it's not surprising probably that we Americans are the world's leading refund seekers. It's not universally true. Consumers in Japan return very little, you know, like vanishingly little. So it varies from country to country, and also it's the pandemic. Everyone told me that the pandemic had accelerated both online shopping and online shopping returning by several years. During the pandemic, when stores were closed, people bought more stuff online. They couldn't try clothes on in dressing rooms. They couldn't try out appliances that they wanted to buy, or power tools or things like that. And so huge quantities of all that stuff went back, more than had been the case before the pandemic. And now, even now that stores are open again, people still do it, and they do it in brick and mortar stores, maybe only at half the rate that they do online, but still much more than they used to.
Talking to David Owen, a writer for The New Yorker, about a big piece he wrote on the economy surrounding returns, product returns. It's huge. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you buy a bunch of the same-ish thing with the intention of returning all but one? Do you find yourself returning more products than you used to? Or are you careful? You pick that one thing that you know you're going to like. Do you work in the industry that processes these returns? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Coming up, what happens to the returned stuff? That's up next on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with David Owen, author and staff writer at The New Yorker, about what happens to the products we decide to return. You can share your experiences returning products if you do it more than you used to. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. All right, David. Now, your piece in The New Yorker about our product returns opened my eyes to this industry, the reverse logistics industry. Can you talk about some of the things you saw out there? I had no idea that most of this existed, I gotta say.
Well, it's still evolving rapidly, and someone told me it's a highly entrepreneurial industry, and it is. You know, you think there's all these products that go back. It's money to somebody. It's a nuisance often to the retailers that sold it in the first place, but there are people who saw that they can make money from it. So although people will complain that the big online retailers have put mom and pop stores out of business, there has been this whole rise of mom and pop type stores that sell returned items, overstock items, refurbished items, some including big chains. So I visited a company in Georgia that handles returns. It contracts with brand owners to handle their returns. It refurbishes many. It then sells them in a secondary universe, outlet stores, discount stores like Ollie's, places like that, where you can buy and often return refurbished items that somebody else returned and they were repaired and put back into the kind of shape that they could be sold again.
Those first level processors in this reverse logistics industry. Now, I probably can't go up to them and buy a shirt, right? Like, can you talk about the volume that first level where they're sorting stuff out, that next step of triage and selling it? What kind of volume are they selling in?
Oh, apparel is the hardest. And someone pointed out to me at this conference that I went to in Las Vegas, she said, you'll notice there's no one here from the apparel industry. The reason is that the return numbers are really high, like 40%. And yet clothes are tough. They go out of style quickly. People send them back in terrible condition. They're one-offs. So you send back, you could end up with one of each of a bunch of different items in different sizes. It's hard to resell them. You could go online right now and bid on entire truckloads of returned clothing and pay maybe 10 or 15 cents on the dollar, and in the hope of making, 20 or 25 cents on the dollar by picking through it and finding things that you can resell. And that's true of you can buy Amazon returns by the pallet full. by the truckful. You can buy individual items. There are places online where you can do all these things. But you, when you do that, you take on a risk that, you know, it turns out maybe that the that there was a reason that the person returned the indoor basketball game that you've got your eye on, or the air rifle, or the hundreds of items in a truckload that you've decided to bid on. So it's a But it's an interesting world. I didn't actually bid on any of these things, but I was interested to
watch.
You
didn't need a truckload of returned shirts?
Right. There was a 2-pallet load of returned sports type items from Amazon. They were you know, very few multiples of any item. There was no guarantee that any of them still worked. And yet it attracted a couple of hundred bidders and ended up selling for, I don't know, that for a fraction of, for 15 cents on the dollar, say. But I saw another, there was a load of returned designer shoes in their packaging. And the estimate of the original retail value was over $100,000, and nobody bid on it. You know, a couple hundred people looked at it and nobody wanted it.
Something that really struck me is sometimes when there's a defective product, say an appliance or something, sometimes the first time the company, the manufacturer, figures out there's a consistent problem in the field is they hear it from these companies that process returns. What did you see?
This particular company in Georgia that I went to, they told me that the main thing, that their main business is selling information to brand owners. And the most valuable thing that they do is information. It's not reselling the items, although they prepare them for that, but it's letting them know what went wrong. And they said, you don't really understand a product until a consumer has had their hands on it. So they sometimes found out after just three returns that a particular high-end appliance had a serious problem, and they actually worked with the factory, which is often the case, was in China. They worked with the factory to design a fix. And so they spotted a problem early and were able to participate into solving it before it became a catastrophe.
Now, I got to admit, David, I'm kind of old fashioned. I overthink most of my purchases. I'm probably not going to return something unless it, you know, catches fire or something like that. Am I a dinosaur? Is this just the way people shop now? Like, I'm going to buy lots of stuff and know I'm going to return a certain percentage of it?
You know, I think it is. I think it's younger people are more likely than older people are to do this. And I think we've gotten bad about reading instructions. Men have always been bad about reading instructions, but often appliances go back because people tried to use them, or power tools.
You've got a hilarious example, the power sprayers. You got to share that.
Yeah, right. It was pressure washers, and where people don't, you're supposed to, you have to hook them up to water before you turn them on, but people will often turn them on. And I said, you know, couldn't you solve this by putting some kind of a detection device in the water tank? And they said, no, that would probably be too expensive. It would just be another label, warning label on the power washer. And, you know, people who don't read instructions don't necessarily read warning labels either.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing your work with us today.
Thank you.
That's David Owen, author and staff writer at The New Yorker. We talked to him about what happens to the billions of dollars worth of stuff we return to online and in-person retailers every year. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Courtney Everett returns,
yes,
to the studio with me. The largest source of funding for WPR programs is from listeners like you. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. Take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, we have a goal of 20 gifts. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't yet, give now and fund all the WPR programs you can count on. Join in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That last conversation, we looked at the huge return economy in the United States. Yeah, and this thing that I think is invisible when we return our stuff and, you know, it just works smoothly and we forget about it, I think. We learned a lot about what happens then, the impact it has, how it probably drives up costs for the stuff we buy in the first place. And we took a valuable lesson. You got one of those power washers.
I was just going to say that.
You
got
to hook it to the water, people. It works with the water. You're going to burn out the engine. You're going to have to return it. It's anyway, one valuable piece of information and a lot of fascinating information along the way.
Yes.
The kind of conversation you could count on all the time here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can become a sustainer. Choose a monthly gift amount that works for you. It can come from your bank account or even your credit card. It'll continue as long as you like.
Because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without. Make your support ongoing with a sustaining gift. It's convenient and flexible too. Get it started now. Give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One listener made their donation and said, we cannot live without WPR, and we sure don't want to. And maybe you feel that same way, that listening to WPR makes your life better.
Whether it's keeping up with the news, enjoying music, the laughs you get on the weekend shows, or great conversations here on the Ideas Network, there's always something great to listen to.
And because WPR makes your life better, you can help us keep going. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
It's $10 Tuesday. We've got a special offer for you, something I don't think you'll want to return when you get it. Ask for the WPR baseball cap when you give $10 a month or more. Support the WPR programs you value and add this stylish hat to your wardrobe. You'll wear it, I'm guessing, all the time.
I would wear it all the time.
Formal events, maybe.
Yes.
Conversation starter there.
Walking to the mailbox. That's another good
one. And back.
And back, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of opportunities to wear this hat. You make the call, though. Ask for yours right now when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you to William in Milwaukee, who says, I am an everyday listener benefiting in so many ways from your programming. It and the people who deliver this service deserve my support. Thank you so much, William in Milwaukee, and to all our listeners statewide that have supported us. And if you have not yet, you can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you so much, and keep on contributing.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, how has your water use looked over the last couple of few years? Have you used less than you used to? If so, you're not alone. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum shows the sale of water from Wisconsin's utilities has dropped by 18% over the last couple decades. We'll find out why. First, Courtney Everett joins me in the studio for the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. You count on Wisconsin Public Radio for great conversations. We count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
Listener support is the largest piece of the funding that makes this show and all the other shows that you enjoy possible. That is why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We are working our way toward our goal of 20 gifts this hour. Thank you so much if you have already given.
And if you haven't, you can join in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift makes the programs you value possible.
Have you ever heard something here on Wisconsin Public Radio that you wanted to pass along to a friend?
I have.
Yeah, me too. And with program notes on WPR.org and our audio archives, you can pass things on. Maybe you already do.
It is a great way to stay connected with others by passing on those ideas, stories, and information. We help you stay connected with your friends and family and with the world. Your donation keeps this connection going.
Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The best part about being a donor is you get to decide how much to give. And maybe that would be $100 or $200 a month. Maybe that's the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on. Takeout or entertainment, for example. Stuff you enjoy, things that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you, then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Tuesdays often get passed over as just another midweek day.
Tuesdays are always difficult just because it's not quite the middle of the week yet.
Because you still have to get up early for work.
Just kind of middling while not being the middle.
Tuesdays are so early in the week that I find myself cranky, wanting lunch at 11 a.m. and in desperate need of a nap.
Who doesn't love tacos on Tuesdays?
I'm tired of Tuesday dominating our tacos, and I think it's about time we give more tacos to the rest of the week.
It's not the weekend, it's not hump day, they're sort of neutral.
This member drive, that's about to change. Today is $10 Tuesday, your chance to ask for the WPR baseball cap when you give $10 a month. This special offer is only available today, so give now. Here's how.
Make that gift, get the hat on $10 Tuesday online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Courtney Everett. Your support during this fall member drive makes the WPR programs you count on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference.
Giving to WPR is so easy. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you would like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes then to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is the time. Give while you're thinking about it. It just takes a few minutes to make your contribution to WPR.
Don't put it on a to-do list. Just take care of it right now. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. In just a few minutes, you'll have the great feeling of supporting the programs you value.
Yeah, make sure to put it on that to-do list so you don't forget about us. Our goal is 20 gifts this hour, and especially because this gift is so important. It is set to make sure that we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on. You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The clock is ticking on a special offer today. Ask for the WPR baseball cap. When you give $10 a month or more, wear it. Show off your support for the WPR programs you value. This cap is only available for that $10 a month amount today, $10 Tuesday. So give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And Scott and Kohler says, I have listened for years but never donated. It was time to step up and contribute.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Scott, for contributing. And thank you to all our supporters we've had today and throughout this membership drive. But keep on donating. It is so important. You can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations here on Wisconsin Public Radio each and every day. We count on you and listeners like you to help pay for it. Your gifts add up together with somebody maybe down the street, across town, across the state, and beyond. It adds up to the single largest piece of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. That's why your gift matters. That's why it matters now. Give $10 a month or more. Get that new WPR baseball cap. Do it all online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A lot has changed in Wisconsin over the last two-plus decades. One change that might surprise you is our water usage. According to a new report published by the Wisconsin Policy Forum, sales of water by Wisconsin's water utilities have decreased by 18% since 1997. That happens to be as far back as there is readily available data from the state's Public Service Commission. What all accounts for that drop? Does that mean our state is more water secure? Tyler Burns is a researcher with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Tyler, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate the interest in the topic.
Before we dive into the water, Tyler, I understand you kind of stumbled across this water usage story while you were looking at something else. What led you into digging deeper into our water sales?
So we've been working on some reports on basic services. You know, think about sewer, stormwater management, trends in what we do with trash. How we produce it, where it goes, that sort of thing. And, you know, water utilities fit in with that. These are, you know, some of the most important services, things we take for granted that just sort of happen every day. And we wanted to shine some light on that. And so we were digging around for data at Public Service Commission, and they have reports from each of the water utilities about what they sell in terms of how many gallons they sell, what the revenues are, all those sorts of things. And we pulled that information out and we started looking at some of the trends, and we were surprised. Again, as you said, it's a pretty significant drop, 18% in water sales over this time period, while we've had a growing population, while the economy's been expanding, those sorts of things. And so we started to dig in to see, where has that use dropped most? And, what are some things that tells us about the state? And so I think we found some pretty interesting things.
Let's start with the one we may be most familiar with. If we get a water bill, residential use, what's been happening? How big a decline have we seen in how much water we're using at home?
So residential use has declined roughly about 10-12% over this time period. And that's largely due to, think about the activities we do to conserve water at home. Install low flow shower heads, install low flow toilets, fix leaks. That's another big one. And just sort of thinking about water as something we need to conserve because it, impacts our family budget. And so that's been a pretty substantial decline. And we'll, I'm sure, talk about it in a minute here. That's not the big driver of this overall decline. Yeah, that's sort of on the manufacturing side.
Yeah, and talk about what we've seen in manufacturing and industrial use of water.
So industrial use, again, that's the biggie. And, if you think about places like, Madison here where I live, we've lost, industry in terms of the Oscar Mayer plant, a Sara Lee bakery. And so, that same story has kind of played out across the state where industrial users have left the area or just become, far more efficient. And so due to that, we've lost, we're using, where's the number here? We're losing, we've sold, 34% less water to industrial customers, 17.2 billion gallons over this 30-year period. And again, that's, chalked up to both industrial plants moving and then also using water much more efficiently.
Now, with this overall decline in utility water sales, we hear the percent declines and things like that. Can you give us a sense of, how much water we're talking about?
So, it's a huge number. I kept having to check my decimal points while I was doing the analysis. We sell something like, and these water utilities sell 138 billion gallons of water annually for use. And so, looping back to our 18% decline over this 30-year period, that's 30 billion gallons. That's enough to fill Lake Monona here in Madison. And so, the numbers get really big really fast when we're talking about water use, especially on a statewide basis.
Dr. Tyler Burns, researcher of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, looking at declining water usage here in the state. Now, Tyler, we're talking about what is sold by utilities. That's one piece of the puzzle with the most accessible data. You also took a look at what we know about some of the big users of power plants and agriculture. Where do they fit in when it comes to the amount of water that gets used in the state?
So power plants, they really dwarf all other users of water. And this is data that we collect, the Wisconsin DNR collects on withdrawals from both groundwater and surface water across the state as part of the Great Lakes Compact. And so DNR has a pretty good sense of how much water all these customers are using, or all these withdrawals are using. And again, power plants dwarf all other users. They're at, in the neighborhood of 73 to 75%, depending on the year. And what they're using that water for is cooling their equipment, making steam to make power. There are issues associated with that, potentially, heat pollution in water, that sort of thing. And they're working to reduce their water use too. But they're kind of the elephant in the room when it comes to total surface water withdrawals. Agricultural irrigation here in Wisconsin is, in the neighborhood of 4 to 5% each year. That's excluding cranberries. But agriculture is 4 to 5% of the water withdrawn in the state. And, that's largely because if you think about Wisconsin, we don't irrigate that much across the state. Setting aside a place like sort of the Central Sands County where there's a lot of irrigation, we're not massive irrigators in the state. And then cranberry bogs, they withdraw about they account for about 3% of the withdrawals annually. And again, that sort of bounces back and forth depending on, you know, what the year was in terms of weather, what other users are doing. So agriculture together between cranberry and irrigation is in the neighborhood of 7, 8, 9%. So again, less than public water utilities, but still substantial users.
Our starting point was the stuff that comes through utilities, the metered water supply that comes to our homes, businesses, and industry. When we take all this stuff into context, Tyler, the power plants, agriculture, and more, are we still seeing an overall decline in the amount of water we use up here in the state?
That's a little bit harder to tell. And, you know, this is kind of a jumping off point, I think, for some more research that we're going to do into these uses. But because, you know, any change that power plants do, you know, is going to kind of skew the overall results. But that said, we are 6% lower in 2021, which is the most recent data that DNR has, than our annual average. And again, that's largely due to decreases in withdrawals by power plants because they're trying to operate more water consciously. Talking about big numbers, as total statewide, all water withdrawals from all sources, it's 1.8 trillion gallons of water, including power plants, water utilities, agriculture users, other users. So that's just a massive number of gallons withdrawn each year.
So the next question, I guess, is if we're using less water, is this good news for our water supply in the state, groundwater, surface water, and more? What kind of things do we start to look at to see, okay, are our water savings adding up to a real difference in our water supply?
So I think generally, yes. I think, you know, Madison, again, is a good example where the water utility is actually seeing, you know, groundwater recharge. So the water that we use for our water utility, it's not shrinking, it's growing. On the other hand, you know, there is kind of a potential negative story there with, you know, as manufacturers leave, there's hardships associated with that. I think, you know, as we've used fewer gallons of water, especially water utility water, you know, that's water that has to be treated, has to be pumped, has to be piped. It's good to use less of that in large part because there's a substantial gain in terms of energy, right? We're using far less energy to clean this water, to pump this water, those sorts of things. And so, you know, in the context of climate change, that's a major benefit. I think it also speaks to the overall capacity of our water utilities to provide more water to, you know, potentially industries that would like to relocate from truly water-starved states like the Southwest to, you know, Wisconsin to build a you know, chip manufacturing plant or other water-intensive industry. We are in a position where, you know, we have substantial water resources.
And Tyler, as you mentioned, you kind of stumbled onto this water story while looking at other public services. What would be your next questions when it comes to how we use water in Wisconsin?
So I think there's two things that this has sort of led me to want to investigate, which number one is, you know, deeper questions about these surface water and groundwater withdrawals in total. You know, DNR has some really good data on that, and it'd be nice to kind of dig into the changing, you know, power plant usage, irrigation usage, and looking at over a longer time horizon. And then secondly, PSC also has very good data on lead laterals, lead pipes in water utilities across the state. And so it would be interesting to dig into where exactly those lead laterals are distributed across the state and potentially what it would cost to address them. And those are kind of the next places to go from here.
Tyler, thanks for sharing your research with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Tyler Burns. You too. That's Tyler Burns, researcher at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We talked to him today about a new report he worked on showing how water sales from Wisconsin utilities have dropped by 18% over the last two decades and what's driving that. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Courtney Everett is in the studio with me, and we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of your time to support your WPR listening.
That's right, Rob. So listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs you count on. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
When 20 people join in, we'll be on track to support the programs you count on and rely on every single day.
WPR programs are listener powered, and that means your donation right now makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last conversation, we took a look at something we might take for granted. We turned the tap, there's the water.
Totally.
Well, this study looked much deeper into that, looked at long-term trends and how much water we consume in Wisconsin. Got, I think, some surprising results. Now, these are the kind of conversations, informative conversations, eye-opening discussions you can count on here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Exactly. And the best part is you can count on them here on Central Time and also on The Morning Show. That is where I tend to hang out.
Right.
I'm a morning show producer. But of course, WPR is listener supported. And that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
It is $10 Tuesday. Support WPR with a gift of 10 bucks a month or more. Score the new WPR baseball cap. It's got a retro radio kind of design, some WPR language on there. It's more than just another hat. It's a statement of your commitment to fact-based news and quality entertainment. This special offer is available just today. So make your gift of $10 a month now. Ask for your WPR baseball cap at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Meg Marshall, and I'm from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. I think today, especially with this crazy world we live in, it's more important than ever that people know what's going on in the world. This is not just about the United States, it's about the entire world. And the only place you find coverage of international issues to the depth that you find them on Wisconsin Public Radio is right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Meg from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can join Meg with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Courtney Everett on the Fall Member Drive. The WPR programs you enjoy are all possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a big difference for our entire community.
You spend $20 out for drinks, dinner, maybe even every single weekend. So in the greater scheme of things, $20 isn't a very big expense, especially if it were just once a month.
That's why we ask you to think about giving $20 a month for your WPR listening. When you give it monthly, it really adds up to the programs that keep you informed and inspired every day. Make your gift right now, $20 a month, or you choose the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, think again. It is gifts from tens of thousands of people combined together that make WPR programs possible.
A lot of first-time donors will give $10 or $20 a month for their WPR listening. You pick the amount that works for you and then join this team effort with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Less than 2 minutes left this hour, and we have 20 gifts we're seeking from our valuable listeners just like you. And this goal is important. It is set to make sure that we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on. You can give now at our website, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
That special offer is, well, it's counting down right now. You can get the WPR baseball cap when you give $10 a month or more. Wear it, show off your support for the WPR programs you value. Only available for $10 a month today. $10 Tuesday, give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much for your contributions. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5, maybe $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sharon in Deerfield says, I'm a longtime listener. My favorite shows are Larry Mueller and Central Time. Thank you so much, Sharon, for supporting the shows you love. How about you? Make your gift right now online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.